You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am addressing listener questions, and I'm actually going to do a threefer. So I have three people who have all asked questions specifically about questions, ironically. So what do we do when kids ask us questions in the playroom, and how do we make sure that we remain child-centered in responding to their questions? And so each has a little bit of a different bent or focus, but all three specifically referred to being asked questions in the playroom. So I figure I can just kind of do one fell swoop of answering three at once, especially since I'm really backlogged on answering listener questions. So thank you for your patience. I know some of you have asked a question and it's been a couple months since I've even been able to get it into the episode. So thanks for being patient and waiting. And I promise I'm trying to tackle them as quickly as possible. My husband keeps telling me that I should just do a question every day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I can do 7 podcasts a week. So I'm working on it, y'all. I promise. All right. So let's talk through what we do if kids ask us questions in play sessions. Because obviously the child-centered model is that we are not experts. We do not have any answers. And the child leads and directs not only the play, but also the conversation. And so we wouldn't ever want to respond in such a way that turns the conversation, turns the play, that provides an unexpected response, which then shifts the conversation or what the child had in mind when they were asking questions. So it's a little bit tricky because there are some kids that aren't really satisfied with the non-answers that we give. And I'll explain what that looks like if you're not sure what a non-answer is to a question. So let me read through parts of the emails that I've received from the three listeners, and then I'll kind of dive into the specific details. So Lily from, as she says, Chile, Minnesota, related aside, I went to Minnesota for the play therapy conference several years back, and it was October and it was cold and rainy, and we went to this amazing local theater play that was put on, and it was about the abominable snowman who joined a ice hockey team. And, you know, in Florida, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning, which they are a fantastic hockey team. They've won the Stanley Cup several times, and they're usually in the playoffs, et cetera. So we, you know, in Florida, ironically, we actually do have a really good hockey team, but we are not a hockey state, right? We don't have snow, we don't have ice, we don't have ponds that freeze over. So we have these indoor ice rinks that people practice on, but it's not really our state pastime, if you will. I have never seen such ice hockey people except when I was in Minnesota. And this show that we went to was so amazing. We still talk about, that was years ago, probably 2016. And we still talk about how great that show was and the songs and the acting and the whole thing. So Lily from Chile, Minnesota, we have great memories from being there. And one of the songs that they sang was, "We're Minnesota Nice." So you all are nice Minnesotans up there in Chile, Minnesota. All right, so I'm back on track. So let me read a little bit about what Lily was asking. Then I'm going to read what the other two asked, and then I'll kind of dive in just so you know where we're going here. So her question is, my question is around CCPT. Most of my clients are 8 to 12, and when they talk, which happens a lot, they're conversational and ask me questions about myself or my preferences. For example, have you ever played this game before? Do you like hot dogs with ketchup? How many brothers and sisters do you have? I've been practicing the CCPT approach of reflecting and returning the focus to the child, but it honestly feels awkward. I'm not sure how to balance CCPT with the relationship piece because in most cases, it seems clear the child wants to connect with me. So how do I offer connection without answering their questions? All right, so that's Lily's question about questions. Now we'll look at Moshe's question from New York. And this says, I have been working with a 14-year-old on the spectrum. During play, he constantly asks about timings. What time can we pray? What time did you wake up? What time did you eat? Why are people wearing a scarf? Why do we wear a jacket and a coat? I was confused on how to respond at first, so I answered the questions since I thought he needed them for educational purposes, but it did not take long to realize that the questions were repeated over and over again. At first, I thought this was what he needed, but I've seen him for a year now and progress has been slow. I'm wondering from a child-centered perspective what you would suggest. So Moshe from New York, thank you for that. And then Rachel from the UK says, I believe that in CCPT, we should neither ask or answer questions. And I have clients who ask me capital loads of questions. If it's just one or two in a session, I can usually reflect the feeling and avoid overtly answering the question. But one client in particular seems to spend the whole session asking questions. Some examples. What time is it? How long do we have? Have you seen insert TV show or movie? Did you hear that? Why? Where do you live? Have you been to this store? Will I miss math? What's on your shirt? And just about any other question that he can ask. The days when he is asking more questions than others, I end up feeling pretty confused, not very competent, and rather frustrated. I'm wondering if this is part of it. That's how he feels, so he's trying to show me. But I also could really do with some suggestions for how to approach this while staying true to CCPT. So Lily, Rachel, Moshe, thank you very much for your questions about questions. So here are my thoughts based on how to best handle this. And it's interesting that I've had three of you reach out about this particular topic because we just recently covered this in the training program that I offer with my participants as well. And we were processing what to do when a child asks questions because we were reviewing video sessions. And that came up. So this is a very common issue. This is a very common difficulty. And so this is really helpful to address. So the three of you, thank you for reaching out about this. All right. So as a general rule, all of you indicated this. So all of you are aware, and I'm hoping that is a universal acknowledgement that we all have as a child-centered play therapist. We don't want to answer questions. So as a general rule, the vein through which we view a question is that we do not have any answers that the child does not have either. And we are not an expert or in any position to educate or inform or teach or do anything other than just experience the play session with the child. So how do you manage that when a child is asking specific questions? So kind of as a big umbrella, you want to keep in mind that if you generalize the question or if you enlarge the question, sometimes that is an effective way to skirt the answer. So what I mean by that is when a child keeps asking questions, you might say, oh my goodness, you are asking a lot of questions today. So there's the generalization. So it's not, I'm addressing the specific question you just asked. I'm acknowledging that you are asking lots of questions today. Or you could enlarge the meaning and say, you really like to learn a lot of details when you're talking to people. Or it's important that you find out a lot of different things. So if you generalize or enlarge, that can be another tool in your toolbox rather than just reflecting the feeling or reflecting the content. So let me unpack those two a little bit so that you can understand what that would look like. Because remember, you have three reflective responses, and I'm sure all of you know what they are by now: reflecting content, reflecting feelings, tracking behavior. So when a child is asking questions, you can always reflect feeling and reflect content. But that sometimes is where I think what the three of you are describing is it can become a little bit awkward. Because if that doesn't satisfy the child, you don't want to continue to say, you want to know blah, 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 or you're curious about whatever. So it can only get you so far. So if you move to the generalization and the enlargement, sometimes that gives you another tool in your tool belt so that you're not just saying the same thing over and over again. But what might you do to use a reflective response? So if you reflect content, the child says, do you watch Paw Patrol? I don't know internationally if you all have the show Paw Patrol, but it's like a cartoon in the States. So do you watch Paw Patrol? You could reflect their content and say, oh, you're wondering if I've seen that show. So you just say back to them what they've said, right? Or you can reflect their feeling. You're curious if I've seen the show that you've seen. Now, there are certain kids and there are certain days where that is enough. Just by verbally acknowledging that they're wondering, they are content with the fact that you've responded and they don't actually push for an answer. But there are times when you say that and then they go, "So have you?" And so I don't know that this is grounded in anything other than my own experience. So I don't know that I've read this anywhere or if this is kind of standard practice. But my general approach to this is I return responsibility and return focus to the child by generalizing, enlarging, reflecting content, or reflecting feeling 3 times. So I will try to avoid answering the question 3 separate times. And if the child pushes on the 4th go-round, then I realize, okay, this child is unsatisfied with me not answering the question. So my general rule of thumb is I will avoid answering 3 times. And then by that point, I realize this isn't a curiosity issue. This isn't a wonder. This isn't, I'm just making conversation. The child genuinely wants an answer. So at that point, I typically say, it's really important for you to know whatever they're asking. So it's really important for you to know what I eat on my hot dog. Or you really want me to tell you how many brothers and sisters I have. So then at that point, you are validating their need, want, and desire. And remember, way back in the podcast, and if you're new, welcome, so glad you're here. If you haven't listened to them in order, please do that because you've missed a lot of content. But remember, way back in the early stages of the podcast, we talk about you operationalize what the child is experiencing, and through the play, they express their needs, wants, feelings, and desires. So when they will not let go of something and they keep pushing for an answer, that is their way of saying to you, I really want to know. So therefore, it's important to validate that. So at that point, I typically say, you really are curious about that. It's important for you to know. You would like me to tell you. So I validate there. And then typically, if they say, yeah, so what is it? Or yeah, so tell me. Or I've asked you 3 times or some other kind of frustrated response because it's like, how many times do I have to ask you, Miss Brenna? You really aren't kind of getting the picture here. Then my response is a neutral answer. So let me explain what I mean by that. I give them a response that doesn't actually involve much fact. So let me go back to Moshe's question. I actually have to scroll back, sorry. So one of the questions was, why are people wearing a scarf now? Okay, so with that kind of question, I will typically say, it's really important for you to know what I think about that. I guess they chose to wear a scarf today. So notice that I'm not giving my opinion. I'm not giving my thoughts. I'm not really answering the question from my perspective. It's a neutral answer. So why are people wearing a scarf? I guess they chose to wear a scarf today. That is an answer, but it really does not communicate any of my personal beliefs, opinions, thoughts, feelings, any of that kind of thing. Another option, I'm trying to think of other examples that were given. Let me see. Did you hear that? What was that? That's one you'll get a lot. So every time the air conditioner kicks on, every time a door closes, every time another child makes a noise down the hallway, certain types of kids will be like, what was that? Did you hear that? Who was that? Why did that door close? Is someone walking down the hallway? So you get those kinds of curious questions, right? So in a scenario like that, I might say, you're really wondering what made that noise. I guess I'm not sure either. So that is in fact an answer, but I'm not answering the question of who was it, what was it, why did they make that noise? I guess I'm not sure either, is another neutral response. So you become a master of giving neutral responses that really don't communicate your own perspective on anything that you're being asked. So that has been my workaround when a child is not willing to let go of the question without a specific response. So I could say, you know, 18 times, you really want to know. But when they go, yeah, so what's the answer? I typically respond with that neutral. And here is another option. You can return responsibility through an I wonder statement as well. So when the child is asking all kinds of questions, will I miss math today? That was one of Rachel's questions that she reported. So will I miss math? I go through the three. If they still won't let it go, then I say, gosh, you're really wondering about math. I wonder what you think. So if you, I wonder in response, that's another workaround because it returns responsibility and it gives them an opportunity to answer their own question. So that is another option in light of the neutral answer as well. And then my final thought, I think it's really important when kids are asking us questions to tease apart in our own minds why the child is asking the question. You know how much I love why about everything, right? So my brain's wired this way, but I think it serves us in child-centered play therapy. If we can get to the why the child is asking questions, it helps us respond in an appropriate way. So is the child asking questions for connection's sake? I have three brothers. I want to know if you have brothers. Because if you have a brother, then we have something in common, and that's a connection, right? Do you like ketchup on your hot dogs? Because I love ketchup on mine. So that would be a connection point if we both like ketchup on our hot dogs. So if the goal of the question from the child is connection, that helps us understand what the child is seeking, number one, what the child needs, number two, and then three, we can gear our child-centered response accordingly. So we could enlarge that. You are really wondering if we both like ketchup on our hot dog because then we would have something in common. See, there's your enlargement. There's your generalization about the connection, okay? Another option is sometimes they are really trying to form the relationship. So they want to get to know you. They want to build the bond with you. They want the relationship to be strong. So how do you do that in any relationship in your life? Think about meeting someone new for the first time. You get to know them, and usually they either divulge the information on their own or you ask them questions so that they can share information with you. So is it a relationship drive? I really want to have a closer relationship with you. Okay, well then that helps you respond appropriately. Is it anxiety? Sometimes kids ask questions because they're anxious and they're nervous. So that is some sort of self-soothing for them. And it gives them a sense of stability because, you know, if they know the answer to things, they're not worried about it. Well, that also helps us respond. Because, for example, in that scenario, I might generalize and enlarge to say, you don't like how it feels when you don't know what's going on. If a kid goes, what was that? Did you hear that? What was that noise? What made that noise? Is someone out there? What's going on? Well, you can reflect content, you can reflect feeling, or you could say, you really don't like the way it feels when you don't know what's happening. It makes you feel better when you know. So that's the way we respond in a child-centered model, right? Or is it for power? Sometimes kids ask us tons of questions because they want power. And it gives them a feeling of control when they can ask questions, demand answers, and have knowledge. Because knowledge is power sometimes. And kids learn that. So again, you always have to be cognizant of why the child is asking questions, which then lends itself toward responding in an appropriate way. But regardless, all three of you recognized this. As a child-centered play therapist, the goal is to not answer questions. And sometimes the questions are interesting. For example, how do you spell this? What does this word say? Did I do this math problem right? So sometimes it's a very concrete question. And it can be very difficult to not give them a concrete answer when they're asking a concrete question. So Lily, Moshe, Rachel, thank you so much for these. I think this is so helpful for us to be aware of, to talk about, to process, and to equip ourselves so that we can handle this appropriately when we inevitably get those kids that love asking us questions and, you know, managing that in the session effectively. So thank you very much. If any of the rest of you would like me to answer a question, please email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Please know how very much I appreciate you, how very much I'm grateful for you. Many of you tell me that I go with you to random places in your lives. I do laundry with you. I go on walks with you. I go on horseback rides with you. I'm in the car with you. I'm all kinds of places. So thank you for taking me with you all over the world. I'm so grateful. And what an honor this is. This is such an amazing field. This is such an amazing gift that we get to do this with kids. And I'm grateful that you all are with me from the clinical side of things so that we really are becoming the best child-centered play therapists that we can be. So as always, a huge thank you to you, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.